time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Pain Clinic for March 23rd. Thank you so much for being here. We're here to talk pro wrestling and all sorts of things. Happy holidays today, real quick. It's Chip and Dip Day, Melba Toast Day, National Chia Day, National Puppy Day, and Near Miss Day. The Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, Stone's Delight, Empire, Culver. Interested in roller derby, want to be a skater, officiate, Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. In fact, we got a game at today at 5 o'clock at the Main Street Armory, and why don't you come down and join us? It'd be a lot of fun. First game in since 2019, first sanctioned game for the Flower City Fear. I am your humble host, the Cash Man. I am joined by the whole gang today. We've got DC Dan Cole. How's it going, DC?
Going just fine. Good morning. I think Artis can back me up on this. Any morning you start with a Bojangles breakfast is a good day.
Making me
and up. Any morning that you start by hearing somebody else has a Bojangles breakfast, but you don't have one, is not necessarily a good start to the day.
Yeah, come on.
I have my Cajun filet in your honor, Artis.
Oh, man.
We are also joined by Danger Boy from Gates, New York, parts unknown. What's up, Danger?
As someone who has not had Bojangles, but not only between these two fine gentlemen, but other places that I consume content, heard about the greatness of Bojangles recently. I am looking forward to a golf trip I'm taking next year to South Carolina, where there will be Bojangles consumed.
Mr. Bojangles. Dance. Sorry. And we're joined by Rob Sanderson, Rochester, parts unknown as well, the artiste. What's up, Mr. Sanderson?
Well, the good news is that Bojangles is expanding very slowly into the Northeast. There's actually one now, apparently, kind of just outside of Philly, about like 2 miles off of the turnpike. Did not get to stop there when drove past like 2 weeks ago or whatever. This month's a blur, but we'll be checking that out soon. So hopefully they get even closer up here. That's a non-paid plug for Bojangles Chicken and Biscuits.
Oh, they know we love them.
I say we arrange some kind of trade where Tim Hortons agrees to expand in the South and then Bojangles agrees to expand up North.
Sure wish Tim Hortons would have expanded to the South when I lived in the South. It was brutal.
Yeah.
But also Chicago, because they weren't there either, so.
Timmy Ho's there. All right. Well, welcome to the show today. We are here talking pro wrestling. Did you guys catch any of last week's show?
I don't know. What was last week? What month are we in? I don't know.
Did we have a show last week? That's a question. Yeah, actually, we did. And we had a special guest host that was Jay-Z. You might remember that dude. He might come back next before we do WrestleMania. Big WrestleMania weekend is in 2 weeks. But we're here to talk about a lot of stuff going on. I definitely want to talk about a lot of AEW this past week because there was a lot to talk about. But we also have GCW in town this weekend too. That would be tomorrow. I believe it's sold out. I'm kind of guessing when they had one ticket left yesterday that it's probably sold out now at the Water Street Music Hall. So GCW will be in town. And thank goodness all the storming's already happened in Rochester. So all we got to do is just push that snow out of the way. We don't have to worry about handfuls of it coming down like last night and whatnot.
No.
Can that be the end of it for this year? I mean, not that there is much room to complain because it was a very mild winter, but it's not winter anymore. It is apparently spring, so this stuff needs to go. I know it was supposed to stop snowing like 20 minutes ago. I don't know if that actually happened, but
I don't see it coming down now. So I don't, maybe I'm hoping it hasn't, but, you guys, I missed you guys last week. Talked about a lot of stuff last week, all the debuts. We didn't get a chance to have you guys on. What'd you guys think of Mercedes Moné's debut last week? How are you feeling about, except for like maybe flubbing a line or two, this past week in the middle of the ring, what did you think about Mercedes coming out and thanking everybody and talking about chaotic wrestling in Massachusetts and stuff like that? Did that dawn on you at all? Anything jump out at you?
I'm always going to appreciate the shout outs to indies, like chaotic got there. I think a lot of what she said in that initial promo, if you just take the text of it, was good. We had another very similar chat with her this week. I'm just ready to see her wrestle. I'm not totally digging all of the mic stuff and the entrance theme and a lot of that presentation. I don't know how, honestly, I'd like to see her go heel pretty soon. Cause this, super happy, glad to be here, I'm the CEO, chant CEO, all this stuff, like, it's not all my cup of tea, but she's a great wrestler, and that's just what I want to see.
Well, I mean,
you don't like her using the Walter remix?
That's not, I mean, if you could take the chanting out of it, I don't care, but that chanting is going to get really old fast.
I mean, I think it was old on the fifth rotation of the first time we heard it.
Yeah.
Over and over and over. Well, what do you think about them bringing her in against Willow, a person she wrestled when the leg was broken or the ankle was broken, you know, I mean, and then kind of teasing Willow last week with the chair, and stuff like that. Is that the way to bring her in and not throw her right into the mix with the champs, or what do you think about easing her in with a Willow, maybe a Willow or a Statlander?
My issue is I need her to be heel, and that you can't put her up against Toni Storm because Toni Storm's a heel currently. But we saw on Wednesday, and Wednesday's promo I thought was bad. She is not a face promo. Her heel stuff is fantastic. Her wrestling is fantastic, but as soon as they can get her into the ring fighting somebody and she can be a heel again, the happier I'll be.
Yeah, I'm already at the point where I need small doses of her character right now. And I don't know. I feel like it might be a long time till we get to see her as a heel. Something's got to happen here, depending on how everything plays out, like you said, with Willow and Statlander and, I mean, I assume we're headed toward maybe an initial tag match with Julia and Sky, something along those lines. But it's just, I don't know. There's some cringing going on with some of the stuff, to be quite honest. And I do feel like she's probably somebody who, probably based off of however big her contract is and stuff like that, we're probably going to see her every week, which has obviously been a complaint of mine with some people on the roster, and specifically some ex-WWE people on the roster and stuff. So I don't know. If we could just get to the matches, I think I'll be more happy about it. I will say, I mean, like, the attention that we've seen, you know, throughout sports media and stuff from her arrival, and I've noticed it quite a bit in March Madness so far, especially the games on TBS plugging her and Dynamite. I mean, it's good that she's finally there after how long this has been kind of drawn out, due to the injury and everything else, that I feel like it's time to kind of dive in and start doing stuff. There's other really, really, really good stuff going on the show these days. And it's not the top of my list. I don't know. And I hope it's not something that buries the other women on the roster either, because I don't really see Mercedes doing much losing anytime soon either, but we'll see how it goes.
Another person who debuted, you guys weren't here, was Okada showing up, and you know, I mean, wow, real quickly, now holding a belt after this past week. So
I'm still confused as to why he only got one of those three. I thought the three were going to be defended together after they were combined, but apparently they're not. He only gets the one, which means we'll never see the other two again.
Yeah, and then, I don't get that. I mean, King's defending the ROH belt like against Mark Briscoe. I don't know what's going to happen with that New Japan strong open weight whatever. I'm kind of okay with those being split up, but I also wish there just hadn't been a new title introduced then. Like it's just, or you had combined the three belts into one belt, and it was weird from the start in terms of that, because you're not going to have Okada on ROH TV every week. You know, had they combined them, things like that. But that was another one of the like really, really obvious matches I felt going in. Like Kingston's title reign so far, I was like, oh, we'll see how this goes and stuff. And it's like, oh, he's defending against Okada. Well, there's not a chance in hell that Okada's losing this match. So congrats to the new champion before the match even happens. But I mean, it could be a nice little spot for Okada to be able to make that title mean something and not have to be in what's kind of a flooded heavyweight title picture right now, world title picture right now.
Yeah, it makes sense. As they announced Okada taking on, you would think that, or taking on champ as well, obviously he's not going to lose first match on TV, or second match, technically. First match was on Rampage the week before, I believe, where we got to see some wonderful camera shots of people showing an empty arena and you know, complaining, you know, how can you have Okada debut in front of, you know, nobody? And it's like, I'm tired of seeing that stuff. It doesn't really matter to me. I'm more worried about the product, or I like the product better than I worry about the size of the audience. I mean, that's probably, and I mean, I'm sure it's different for Tony, but
we talk about a lot of different areas of the wrestling business and stuff, but the tribalism out there right now is as annoying as it has ever been in pro wrestling. Regardless of which side of the fence you're on, if you are on one side of the fence, I mean, it's just like I said a couple weeks ago, I mean, like, this is like an all-time high in the wrestling business, at least in the last like couple decades or whatever. Like, let people like what they like, don't force them to watch stuff they don't want to watch. Like, there's so much content out there and stuff, but I mean, some of the stuff where it's like, oh, we got to find pictures of like, we've got to find pictures of the empty seats at AEW. We've got to find audio proof of them piping in chants at WWE, all this kind of stuff. Like, just enjoy it. Like, I'm still going to criticize stuff, but like, it's like all these people that are complaining stuff, like none of you are on TKO or Tony Khan's payroll. I don't care. Like, I understand the business side of like the ratings and stuff, but I don't care about the ratings. I never have. Like, you could have some show that's getting 10 million viewers. If I don't like the show, I don't like the show. Like, that means nothing to me. Oh, Tony Khan, we got $1 million gate tonight. I don't care. Is that money going in my pocket? Like, I just want to watch a good show. So that's where I am at. And I feel like we're building toward a good WrestleMania, and we've got some incredible Dynamite cards coming up. I made a comment like as Dynamite was starting the other night that I was like, I really hope the Quebec City show isn't just like a C show coming up, because didn't know like how much of the roster was going to travel all the way up there and everything. And then they just announced like two or three bangers for this week. And I was like, oh my God, like this is Quebec City somehow getting like one of the best Dynamite cards ever.
Well, you know why? Is because of the basketball tournaments, taking out Collision, taking out, we got Rampage back to back with Dynamite this past week, because this basketball tournament's going to be occupying those channels for a while. So they might as well use everybody, you know, on the one show that's not going to get preempted, a Wednesday night show. So that's my guess at least, but I mean, that show was sold out last Wednesday, without a doubt. That Toronto show, obviously, Adam Copeland, you know, versus Christian probably was the, you know, probably the big selling point of that show on Wednesday night. And it was a great, you know, listen, that was a banger of a match. Are you kidding me? That was crazy. What'd you guys think of Copeland and Christian? You know, I mean, we've seen him a few times. you know, but then we didn't see Mr. Spikey or whatever, you know, be used. I mean, it was a bloody, violent match. And, man, I give kudos to both those guys. Christian, man, sold like a champ. But it was a great crowd in Toronto. I mean, without a doubt, you know, and they're going to have good crowds as long as they keep staying up in Canada. They're going to be in Canada for the next, like, what, 2 weeks, I think? At least I know.
Well, they've got... Yeah, I mean, there's nothing tonight. Wednesday's in Quebec. A week from today is in London, Ontario. And then I think it's back to the States for a little bit. But then they've got, you know, more Canadian shows coming up in the coming months, too. So,
what did you guys think about that that match with Copeland and Christian?
It was a good match. I just hope that this is the end of that. Because I don't want to see any more of it.
I have had the same thought process on Copeland from when he was Edge and forced to retire back in 2011. He's fine as a wrestler. I get that some people like him. It was a fine enough match. It was, you know, it was a decent TV match. He does nothing for me. Absolutely nothing for me.
Yeah, I didn't. I thought maybe I'd be the only one kind of negative on this going into it. I give credit to those two guys for what they did out there. I really enjoyed, regardless of how much it might have been planted or whatever, like I loved the hockey fight in the penalty box, of course. I'm over the feud. I hope that's the end of it. I don't know where exactly they go from here. I hope Christian doesn't lose momentum because he has been maybe their top heel for a while in that company. I don't know. The match to me just, it didn't have the same feeling to me as like some of these other recent like Osprey matches and other like AEW feeling type matches. It felt to me like I was watching a SmackDown pay-per-view. I don't know. They went all out for it. It was good. I did not like how the Spike was introduced last week, and then like they're going through all these close situations in the I Quit match on Wednesday, and it's like, of course this match is not over yet. We haven't seen Spike yet, so don't even like waste my time being like, oh, Copeland, do you quit? Christian, you like, we haven't seen the thing that they you didn't have to introduce that ahead of time. That I wouldn't have been waiting for it, because I was waiting for it. I was like, well, this is not the finish. Like, but yeah, most fans could probably just tune that out of their mind and not think about that, I guess. I don't know. It was okay, but I'm glad it's kind of over that. And I wonder kind of like, the Toronto crowd was great. I do wonder like what kind of reaction that would have gotten in like Bowling Green, Kentucky or something. I don't know.
Probably wouldn't have had quite the crowd, I'm guessing, either, you know. Maybe, but I will, you know, they will. You notice how they, like, pulled out, they zoomed out whenever he was using the bat with the spikes on it and everything. They were trying to avoid, you know, too much gratuitous violence, I guess, during the match. But which I thought was kind of weird, because all of a sudden they would, like, zoom out from the ring and you'd see him swing that bat and hit Christian right in the lower region, the man junk, even though, you know, that bat, we only saw
two. Yeah, that didn't look fun.
No. I don't know if that bat had spikes all the way around it. It didn't look like it did. It looked like it was flat on one side. So I'm guessing Christian, maybe, you know, but nevertheless, it was pretty sharp still anyways. And there was blood from the beginning of that match, and it was a very, very bloody match. Now Cope's putting out he's got the Cope Challenge now that's going to start this Wednesday on Dynamite, where he will defend the belt every week, it looks like. And that ought to be interesting to see who comes out and, you know, I mean, I guess we'll know for sure if this Christian thing's done, because he would, you know, obviously come out as the first one to challenge him, but I'm guessing not.
But I mean, I guess that's like what we talked about so much. Like, I just don't. He didn't need the belt. This didn't need to be for the belt. No. And I don't need to see him defending the belt. And like, we all know this is like, it's not like that was the last time we were going to see Edge and Christian in the ring together. We know that they're going to team up eventually and everything. But now, how long do you have to wait to do that? Do you keep them on separate shows for a couple months or something? I like, you can't rush into anything else right now, because that would make no sense. But I don't know. I really wish somebody else had the belt itself.
And as a, for the open challenge, like the open challenges, when Cena was doing them, it led to some really good matches with some people that you wouldn't expect. And other people have done them, and they've been pretty good. But I'm getting really sick of the open challenge thing. Even though the matches usually end up okay, and it gives someone, like they usually, for at least a couple weeks, give someone a chance to be spotlighted who normally wouldn't be there. I'm just, every time someone wins a belt in either company at this point, it's like, open challenge. We're going to have an open challenge. It's all the mid-tier belts always end up in open challenges.
Yeah, yeah.
I want someone to be more creative with things.
I would like to see them do it in a way where, all right, fine, he's going to have an open challenge on this show. Don't tell me who it is until their music hits. I want more of that at least slight surprise feeling once in a while, as opposed to like some tweet from Tony Khan at 4 o'clock in the afternoon that this person that's not even under contract has accepted the open challenge or whatever. Or like you hear Copeland say like, oh, we're going to do an open challenge tonight. And then not even 3 seconds later, somebody else walks onto the screen. Like, give me a little bit of believability with it. But
yeah, just remember the pop that Sammy got when he came. I mean, it was Montreal. And when Sammy came out and did the open challenge with Cena and Bret Hart introduced him, and like, if you knew Sammy was there, you knew Sammy was there, but a lot of people didn't. That place went nuts. And then he blew his shoulders out immediately, getting pumped up. But that's a different story.
That was kind of weird. I remember that. Yeah.
Was that an open challenge when
Kevin Owens was an open challenge?
And yeah, the pay-per-view in Corpus with when Steen came out and beat Cena. That, I don't think that was for a belt. No. Because Kevin was NXT champion at that point, maybe?
Yeah, it might have been. And I don't think it was for the belt, but I think it was part of an open challenge or something.
It's the same type of feeling, though. Like, yeah. We've gotten into a point where these companies feel like, and honestly, it's turned into every wrestling company has felt the need now to announce everything ahead of time. And I don't like that. I loved watching Raw in 1999. Where somebody's music hit and it's like, oh, who are they going to face? Waiting for the music. Oh, it's this person. Cool. Like I miss that feeling as opposed to like being told everything is going to happen in every order, who we're going to hear from, who has a huge announcement, all this stuff. Like over that.
It'll be interesting to see if there's a shift in that, at least in WWE, once they move to Netflix. Yeah. You know, a lot of this, you know, a lot of the impetus behind announcing the stuff is driven from the networks who want people to know what to expect. So well, at the same time, you know, WWE, you're on a platform now where you're only worried about subscriptions and not necessarily ratings.
Well, WWE has an issue. They can't really play the music and know who it is anyways because their musics are so generic currently. There's like four people you wouldn't know.
Yeah, that some of that music is so, so bad. Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're almost at a point where they're going to start like having people like knock on your front door and hand you a format before each show that you're watching, like in case you're not aware of exactly what's happening and in what order and everything, here you go. And then we move into matches where the problem, at least on the AEW side too, is this predictability of matches is just out of control right now. I mean, the amount of matches that before the bell rings, you know, who's going to win is also at an all-time high. And I don't like that. I want more matches where I'm going to be surprised either way who wins.
I agree. And that's a problem with wrestling in general right now. And it's kind of like
Jericho put over Hook this week.
Yeah. I know.
Everybody saw that coming. And it didn't mean anything because Jericho's been putting everybody over. So.
And then he immediately got promo right afterwards. And
well, he still remembered to put him over despite being dropped on his head over and over again.
That was the Lionheart version. Okay. That's not the.
Who cares?
Yeah. I don't really feel like it did. I don't know. Maybe people did enjoy like that match from Hook, but to me, like it felt like Lesnar light in some ways. Like Hook can be impressive with stuff, but if it's just going to be suplex, 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 picture in picture, suplex, suplex, like I was so over that match 20% into it.
True.
So credit to neither one of them, to be honest, in my book. I was ready for that to be over with.
Well, you know, it was interesting, I'll say the least. And I don't know what Chris Jericho is doing. I mean,
needs to go on tour for like a year straight and miss every Wednesday.
He keeps getting these tours that are like a week and a half.
Yeah.
Get a new booking agent.
Is he thinking he's putting he's putting Hook over by wrestling him or being associated with him. It's like, I mean, I know he's used that before with other people, you know, Sammy, some other people.
He tries to get the rub off the hot thing, except hot things won't work with him currently. So he's going down. If this was 2 years ago when Hook first debuted and everything, maybe he'd get some rub off, you know, him and Hook would have something going together and it would be. Yeah. Hook's been like dead lately. I mean, he's been on TV a little bit more, but he's not what he was, you know, mystique wise. And now Jericho's just kind of clinging on and he's got another like 5 years on his contract that we got to deal with him.
Yeah, I just saw something. I think it was on Monday night that I saw Jericho's name was actually mentioned on Monday Night Raw. I can't remember what it was, but they were going through like champs or something and they mentioned him. So
I think they mentioned him with the Intercontinental stuff.
Was that
they mentioned Hardy? Hardy and Matt and Jeff Hardy having a match at WrestleMania as brothers.
That's what it was. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, speaking of Matt, you saw Matt was at Raw this past week, right? You know, contract running out with AEW. It's like, why would you re-sign him if he's not really doing anything? You know, I mean, I don't know. You know, there's a lot of people not doing anything, I guess, so we might as well sign everybody, you know. But Matt Hardy's contract is up, I think, this week, something like that. Enough that he could go to Raw and have pictures taken of him in a luxury suite. So, yeah. And we don't know about Jeff being hurt whenever it was a while ago.
Well, Jeff's contract apparently goes through at least the end of the year. And Matt's would have initially been up, you know, based off of that March 18th debut 4 years ago. This was supposed to be in Rochester. So, I mean, that was up this week. When the Hardys went back to WWE the last time around, like, they had so much buzz from the stuff on the indies and in ROH and obviously the Impact stuff before that. At this point, like, I don't know. Maybe some WWE fans who have not seen any of their AEW stuff would be excited to see him back. But like, I'm good with not seeing them.
They could take some time off. I would not have a problem if they took like a year straight off and then were a surprise someplace. But
the only problem, I don't know. I don't know how many good matches we're gonna get out of them at this point. The result of how much they did in their matches over the years.
Yeah.
Obviously I was a big fan a long time ago. And like, you're not seeing though, they're not Hardy Boys anymore. They're struggling to walk, like putting their bodies through hell.
You call them Matthew and Jeffrey Hardy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How will we call them the Hardy Pants?
The Hardy Men against Danger Pants. He used to be Danger Boy. Middle-aged Bucks in a few years. Yeah.
Someone asked me when did you change your name to Danger Pants? I said, when he got married in November. Now he wears the pants. Someone said that in the chat room. And by the way, Patsy left because we're not talking enough WWE. So Patsy's like, I don't know. Okay. So I see ya. But I was going to get to WWE.
Did he take offense to the conversation about tribalism?
Probably, there are people in the chat room. Thank you so much for everybody being in the chat room. I do want to talk a little bit. We'll talk a little bit of WWE build up for WrestleMania. Everything's pretty much set except for really a lot of the undercard. But I mean, we're just like, now we're just, you know, positioning for what's going to happen 2 weeks from today, which would be day one of WrestleMania. And then 2 weeks from tomorrow would be day two. Right now they just, you know, I mean, I don't know if you saw or not, but Rock kind of, people were critical of Rock in his last promo because they felt that he was breaking the PG barrier. And even TKO came out and said, WWE is going to be a PG product. You're not going to go PG-13.
And The Rock has come out and responded saying that story is absolute crap.
Is it? Well, he also came out and said he talks from the heart, too. And so sometimes what he talks from the heart's not PG-13.
Well, it wasn't the stuff that they did on TV that was, you know, pissing people off. Apparently, it was the social media post where he's effing and jeffing the entire time. And they had put out a memo saying that you're not allowed to swear on TV and you can't swear in your social media stuff either, which means someone needs to talk to DiJack because his stuff is hilarious.
Oh, apparently. This past week.
Can't get the line of the week for any promo, so.
Yeah, yeah.
This past week.
DiJack said, "What?" He goes, did you see what color I am? Is that what he said? Something like that? It was,
He got called Shaft, and he goes, have you looked at me?
Yeah, yeah. So it was kind of bizarre. I thought that, yeah, I mean, people laughed at it. It was pretty funny, but I mean, we're, you know, right now it's like, are we like treading water before we get to WrestleMania? Now we know what's going to happen. We know it's coming, you know, I mean,
they're filling in some of the undercard stuff, but yeah, we're treading a little bit.
I think, well, and I understand it in terms of like WrestleMania, but I feel like, again, there's a common thing going on right now with both companies where like, we're at the point of some big matches being announced so far in advance. And then it's like, all right, how do we fill the time in the middle here waiting? And at, like, at least, you know, like the Danielson Ospreay match is still almost an entire month away. And it's been set, and now like, okay, well, Ospreay's got the match coming up on Wednesday with Shibata, which thank you, Tony. You know, that match is still a month away. We're at a point whenever I tune into like the WWE stuff, it's just like, okay, we're gonna have Roman and Cody talking in the ring again. And it's like, we went through all of this a year ago. Yeah. And like, I understand like you have to have like the Mania main event set up like far in advance, but like, it's the same stuff every week. Like, well, it's last just like, night, are we there yeah, yet?
Last
like,
night we got a one-on-one confrontation where Cody was trying to get a handshake out of The Rock. That's pretty much where they left it. I mean, Rock said, you know, and then it's
Roman.
Yeah.
Roman.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Roman. They were trying to get a handshake before, you know, and
there was little things they dropped in there though, where Cody said, yes, I said I would come alone if you did. And obviously neither one of them came alone. Yeah. If you know, you watch the show towards the end, the Rock's dropping of, so the Rock concert was, you know, generic, what we'd expect out of him last week.
Yeah.
But the last stuff he put in there where he dropped the Moana line, talking, you know, he whispered, yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah,
that had me laughing pretty hard. That was pretty good.
Honestly, I haven't seen it because I looked, I saw like 21 minutes or whatever on that, and I was just like, no.
Well, it started with Rock with a guitar in his hand, so I mean, it was like, you knew we were gonna go all over the place with it. So no, you're correct. And I think that, you know, they've got, like I said, it's 2 weeks from today, so they've got two more Monday Night Raws, two more SmackDowns, two more NXTs.
Well, I think the SmackDown before will probably be like WrestleMania Lite for people that aren't going to be on the card. You'll probably get your Bobby Lashley and Karrion Kross match or something like that if they don't put that on the main card.
But when are we announcing our Battle Royals?
True.
It's really a Battle Royal to get into.
Are we bringing back the women's fallopian tube trophy?
Yeah. Whoop. Yeah, that was kind of bizarre. Yeah, who knows? I mean, so, you know, it's like, you know, and I know Patsy's not happy that we're not talking about WWE, but man, like I said,
we're talking about WWE right now.
But they're not doing anything. They're not really, nothing's groundbreaking. Like I said, we're just setting the table. So groundbreaking stuff happened a month ago. So it's, you know, it's,
what are we supposed to talk about with WWE?
Let's say, what's the weather going to be like? What's the weather going to be like in Philadelphia in 2 weeks?
Talked again.
True. You know, there's.
You know, we're getting to the point where we'll be able to see a forecast, you know, an early forecast for that and see what they're going to be dealing with.
True. And who knows? I mean, it's Philadelphia, you know, it could be anything. So, one more thing before I start doing news. You know, we did talk WWE, we talked AEW. I did mention that Okada won a title. We had two title changes on this past week's Dynamite. Two title change. We had the TNT title, and we had the one that Eddie Kingston was carrying. Whatever. Which one was it again? The Continental
Championship.
Continental.
So that's amazing because we don't get anything forever, and then we get two title changes on one show. I wonder about that. You know, it's like, I mean, these are minor titles. I understand that, you know, I mean, minor in one way or the other. I think, you know, I thought the TNT, I mean, Christian definitely did a good job building that TNT title up. So, you know, I think they've done a good job with that.
As long as they don't hot potato with it some more.
Yeah. That's what I'm wondering. Yeah. Do you think that, you know, I mean, do you think that Copeland's, you know, I mean, going to do this, you know, since he's doing this, you know, call, you know, he's going to make an open challenge, you know, will it be a short one? Will this, you know, could it be over in 1 week?
I'd like to see him drop it sooner than later to someone younger that they can push, a la Daniel Garcia or someone like that.
Yeah. I don't know how, I mean, unless that's just a babyface match and Garcia wins it and get,
Christian,
I don't know,
comes out and costs him the title. And then we get Christian versus Edge 4, 5, 6 coming up over the next several months.
Yeah.
I hope we never see them wrestle against each other ever again.
Yeah, yeah. It's it's just a big question mark right now. So let's
I could see someone who's been in the news lately throwing, you know, Tony throwing a curveball and having having like a Jungle Jack show up. There's a reason his name's popped up recently. There's got to be.
Yeah. Well, with the New Japan. Yeah, I mean, did you guys read the story about how, you know, they said that he's not being booked on AEW because he lost the company Punk, you know, or, you know,
he was in talks on for something to come back. And when Punk debuted for WWE, they stopped talking to him.
Yeah. So
it reeks of being a planted story.
Yeah. I think a lot of this is just being put out there intentionally. I mean, with him kind of just popping up, joining a stable, all that stuff, like, I feel like it could still be a little while until he comes back to AEW, which I think is fine. I don't think you need to rush him back.
He's a pillar, man. You know, he's one of the pillars. So let's go to GCW's here tomorrow.
So he's a pillar.
Yeah.
Suspended Sammy's a pillar.
MJF's
not even on the roster page currently, so yeah. He's a pillar as well.
And a broken foot guy's a pillar too.
And Darby's injured, and then the unofficial fifth pillar was considered to be Britt Baker, who's also been out for how long? So yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. It's pretty crazy. So GCW's tomorrow here in Rochester. I don't think you can get tickets, but you can watch it.
There are two up there right now.
Okay.
So I think it was one of those situations yesterday where somebody had one in their cart but hadn't checked out, whatever. But I know that there's a chance tomorrow of a few production hold day of releasings if people are trying to get some at the last minute, but.
I've had two people text me this morning. Are you going? So I know that we got, it's also going to be, you can watch it live on Fight TV Plus too. So just, there's ways to see
Thriller TV Plus as it is. Yeah. Which is Fight TV Plus. I wish it was still just Fight. That was easier to say, but, 5 o'clock Eastern tomorrow, is bell time and broadcast time. They're in Detroit tonight. Hopefully the weather clears up for everybody traveling from Detroit to Rochester overnight. It's a stacked card tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to this. It's their last show before the Collective, which is the Mania Week stuff or whatever, where a lot of the storylines culminate and stuff like that. So there's a lot going on and a lot to be decided for that through tonight's show and tomorrow's show.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, and plus, you know, you're going to see some people in town you've never seen before. Gage, Danhausen, they're going to be in the main event, I'm guessing, taking on VIF, as well as we've got, you know, Nick Wayne's going to be in town. Nick Wayne could be one of those mystery guys that are going to take on Copeland. I wouldn't be surprised at all, but that's what I'm saying. Is it going to keep the whole Christian thing going if Nick Wayne is the one who, you know, comes out and challenges Adam Copeland? But Nick Wayne's going to be taking on Broski, Jimmy here.
Lloyd, yep.
There's
Nick Wayne was at, like, that whole, when I was down with GCW and JCW in Atlantic City a couple weeks ago, Nick Wayne was there the whole time, hanging out in Gorilla, watching the show and cheering people on and stuff. So he's still very much a big part of that company. It was very weird at one point sitting there, like, behind the monitor. And I, like, peek at my phone for a second, like, just to see what was on Collision at this point of the Saturday night show. And I see Nick Wayne walking to the ring. And then I'm like, Nick Wayne's right. What? I hate tape shows. Yeah. Seeing him in GCW is always really good because he gets plenty of time to showcase all of his stuff. And, him and Billy Starks are kind of put in that same category of these two teenagers that were signed that are, I mean, the so much potential there. And both of them are on the show in Rochester tomorrow, which is pretty cool for, you know, those talents that are under contract but are able to work these shows. So,
yeah. For those of you, Microman's coming too. Like, I know you were hoping it was going to be a Danhausen versus Microman, but Microman will be taking on Mance as well. So you're going to get to see Microman.
Yeah, I mean, wrestling is wrestling and stuff, but Mance Warner is one of the biggest heels in GCW, who just beats the crap out of people. And I'm really nervous for Microman. This is a dangerous territory for him. So we'll see how that goes tomorrow in Rochester, but oof. Poor Microman.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, Starks taking on Mathers.
That's going to be an awesome match. Marcus Mathers is one of the top rising younger talents on the indies and stuff too, that's going to be something.
You get Rich and Powerful versus Infinity and Beyond. There's a lot of and signals in this announcement, that match. So you're going to see Colin Delaney here in town.
Yeah, I mean that's what's fun about this being like the Rochester and Western New York, upstate New York, whatever you want to say, like debut for GCW. There's a good amount of local flair that has made its way onto the card. With, you mentioned Colin Delaney and Cheech,
yeah,
to Infinity Beyond. You also have High Seas, Cloudy and Captain Nick Ando on the show. Kevin Blackwood out of Buffalo is on the show. And I believe you will see a little bit more tomorrow as well on the unannounced side of things. So,
oh, gotcha. Unannounced side, huh? So you're going to be some surprises, folks. You definitely don't want to miss.
There's still
that.
Some people that have been announced that aren't on one of the 8 announced matches. So I honestly don't know what that would be. I mean, I can say a lot of times GCW ends up with like a scramble match with people that aren't in, you know, one of the announced matches, things like that. So we'll see how that kind of plays out, but yeah, there's still a few people that, I mean, announced for the show that aren't in matches would include the world champion Blake Christian, Joey Janela, and others. So there's still some to figure out.
And no Cardona, you're saying, right?
No Cardona. No, all right. he is on their show tonight in Detroit, but he's got some other kind of, I don't remember what the other booking is tomorrow. Steph DeLander will be there tomorrow though. As of right now, she's only announced to manage Broski Jimmy. Who knows what else could happen with her.
I saw some teases for something coming up where those two folks are going to be dabbling in another company, but I'm not going to spoil it for anybody. It was TV tapings that went on, so I'm sure you guys heard, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. I won't play spoiler, but if you watch... there's 3 or 4 companies that you can see weekly. It's one of those companies that you might be seeing Matt Cardona sometime soon.
It's not in Rochester. It's not this weekend, but the announcement came out this week, I think, that at the Collective at Joey Janela's Spring Break 8, which would be the Friday night, the late Friday show, I think, of Mania Weekend, Matt Cardona against Blue Kane is happening. Blue Kane is coming over from the UK.
I saw
the match. We didn't know if it was ever going to happen, partially because of cease and desists and stuff like that too, but it's happening. I can't, that's going to be so entertaining.
Yeah.
Like, no. Cardona saying he needs to finish the story.
Yeah. Blue Kane.
And then the tagline for the match, a match 10 years in the making, .. kind of.
Yeah.
I was wondering, I thought Blue Kane was going to get a cease and desist, but, you know, maybe they found a way around that, you know, parody. Yeah. I don't know. But so let's, we've got, I've got to get out of here at 11. So we're going to go through some news right now. You might have seen the promo this past week for a new Bray Wyatt documentary, Bray Wyatt Beyond Immortal. It's going to be coming out April 1st on Peacock TV. Mark Calloway, a.k.a. The Undertaker, is going to be doing the narrating of this show and everything. And I don't know if you saw the preview, but, man, there's some great backstage stuff where you actually see Bray Wyatt working with, like, his image with the producers and stuff. And, you know, I'm looking forward to that. It ought to be pretty good, you know. Unfortunately, Bray Wyatt died, like, 2 years ago. I'm thinking it was around this time too, so it was a year ago.
It was the fall of 22.
So yeah, it was, wow. So it's been a while, but this is you know, his brother is also in it, all over it too, so you could see Bo Dallas looking a lot like Wyndham Rotunda. But do you want to check that out? Did you guys see the preview for that? I mean, that was pretty cool, actually. I think glad that they're doing something to honor him, and maybe the you know, any sort of profits can go towards his family, since you know, well, terrible thing that happened. You know, it's just unfortunate, but you guys excited for it? Anyone? You know, I mean, did you see the preview?
I think it's going to be a heartbreaker. I think it's going to be. I'm going to watch it, but it's going to be a tough watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Just Bo's voice during the preview for it sounds like it's going to just be hard to watch.
Yeah, it's it's going to be sad. So that is coming up April 1st. So that's
and I'm sure we'll get some shout out from his father during the Hall of Fame ceremony as well.
Yeah, and they had a lot of people, you know, comment on it. We had, you know, unfortunately, Hulk Hogan's on it, but John Cena, Becky Lynch, Triple H, his brother Taylor as well. So do you want to look for that April 1st? This past week, it looked like Asuka suffered a knee injury during the closing minutes of last Friday's SmackDown. Asuka was limping at the end of the show and was pulled from all last weekend's shows. I'm not sure how bad it was, but
she was on TV yesterday and moving around and able to be touched, so I don't think it was anything serious.
Okay, so they, yeah.
Did she get any well wishes from Bill Goldberg?
No, but I guess Bret Hart, you know, you can't say sorry enough. To, you know, sorry. I saw that.
Her name is pronounced Asuka.
Asuka, according to, yeah. According.
Some Asian chick.
Something like that. Yeah. Well, that's how it would be if you didn't know that. So, if a couple.
And no one used the spear in wrestling until Goldberg came back in 2016. No one used
it. Apparently. No, and they planned Asuka's winning streak to go around Goldberg's return to the company, apparently, too.
Yeah.
What a joke.
Oh, man.
Yeah. How many of those Goldberg matches were memorable compared to the matches Asuka had in her streak? But, yeah, you know, whatever.
So I've got a couple previews for shows that are coming up. We've got, since there is no Collision this week, folks, there will be no Collision. So, you know, there'll be NCAA basketball. But when Collision does return March 30th, you're going to get Taven and Bennett versus the Infantry. In a quarterfinals tournament match for the
FTR.
No, sorry, FTR. Yeah, Infantry is taking on FTR. I think. Oops, I kind of got the news all messed up because I was trying to do it at like 7 o'clock this morning. I think I got a later plug on that. Let me see. Go down a little bit. Here it is. Nope. Well, never mind. Excuse that. That mistake. There is. Yeah. But you know, we've got.
Yeah, FTR against the Infantry is a first round match.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
After the Infantry upset House of Black last week in what was not that great of a match. Yeah.
Oh man, I messed up the news. Well, never mind. But we're not going to be able to see this till March 30th. So that would be a week from today. That's the next time you'll get to see Collision. I'm trying to look now. I didn't really organize my news very well, but I know that.
But you got, I mean, Dynamite this Wednesday in Quebec.
Yeah.
Osprey, Shibata, Takeshita and Swerve, and Bucks and Private Party. And that's only three of the matches that,
that's all you need.
Definitely.
There was a chance that I was going to check out that show. There's still a chance after hearing that card, because I might have to be in Quebec later in the week anyway.
Really?
As weird as that is. So
that's cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been in that arena yet. The home of the Remparts of the QMJHL. So I haven't been in Quebec City since sixth grade. So might be. We'll see. I don't know. Hopefully this weather clears up and then I can consider that more. But
Mad Dog says at least the kid from Infantry continued well after his botch. He did have a botch during the match.
Yeah, he popped right back up.
Yeah.
And was that Buddy that was kind of I think it was Buddy that kind of like was in position, like that was, I don't know. It seemed like Sean Dean was maybe just moving a little too fast, caught up in the moment and stuff. They have improved quite a bit, like through ROH and stuff. I don't feel like they have. I feel like they should have done a little bit more on AEW TV before getting a big like upset win like that. It just seems kind of strange to me, and I wish House of Black would go kind of far in that tournament.
Yeah, yeah, that's a surprise.
Out in a wild card.
That was a real surprise. So yeah, that was pretty. So we'll get to see the next. Like I said, Collision the 30th. Some other WWE news. Nick Aldis suffered a torn bicep. He's had surgery on it this past week, and he's not expected to miss
it.
The
GM did?
Yeah. He had it from back when I guess he was wrestling with NWA. Or what was it? NWA? Yeah. So I think that he had been sidelined for quite a while wrestling with that company, and that finally had it repaired, I guess. Cool news for you fans of the Slammies. Slammies are coming back. That's right. WrestleMania on WWE World at WrestleMania on Sunday, April 7th. They're going to do the Slammies hosted by Kathy Kelly and Big E Fan Choice Awards. You can actually go to www.com/slammies and put your votes in. The votes will now be tallied through Wednesday, March 27th. So we'll have, I don't know when they're going to show them. It says press release on Friday to announce the Slammies, the Fan Choice Awards will be held. But they didn't say if it was being televised. I'm guessing it will be.
It is on their social media channels. I don't know if it's even maybe later on or something it'll go to Peacock, but they're live streaming it on Facebook and Twitter and other things.
So
maybe YouTube.
Yeah. So, but the Slammies, of course, you know, they're always kind of fun. There's always kind of like, you know, weird things that happen, like Owen Hart stealing Bob Backlund's best bow tie Slammy.
Hey, Bulldog, you may have two titles, but you don't have two Slammies. Yeah. I know the Slammies will always make me think of Owen. I love those moments.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I think it's, you know, it's like, yeah, you got it for the best bow tie. Thanks for stealing Bob Backlund. So some other news, another WWE high-ranking executive has exited WWE, John Porco, who Mad Dog might remember the name as well as I. We used to deal with John Porco when we were trying to get guests for the pain clinic when we first started. He was a public relations guy in 1999, and he had eventually moved his way up to senior director of live events and a bunch of executive vice president of live events, and he just stepped down. So he might have been another one of those mystery names in that lawsuit that is going on right now against Vince McMahon. But John Porco is no longer with the WWE. He has been replaced. I can't remember who they said he replaced, but there's a lot of names that have gone. Let's see. Yeah, Justin Scalise. So he will be filling John Porco's shoes. Contracts of two longtime TNA wrestlers are set to expire in the near future. TNA original Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin are set to have their contracts with the company expire in early April. I saw that they've already signed up to do an independent in Europe, I think it was. Motor City Machine Guns were put in there. But TNA's, because of the changes they had recently, they're changing their contract structure. And it's not going to be a good thing for the company. I don't think if people are not going to resign everybody they have already, maybe to the same deal. But I'm guessing they're not even offering contracts to certain people anymore. So the system, they're supposed to challenge the system, the duo of Brian Myers and Eddie Edwards for the TNA Tag Team Championships. We've got some matches they're scheduled for in TNA. And remember, they're timing up, they're with the Time Machines with Kushida as well. I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, those guys, you know, been around forever. And then listen, they're Ring of Honor originals too. So they've been around longer than TNA. I remember them in Ring of Honor before TNA. But
they've been working a lot of indies, so I don't know how much will necessarily change for them. I would love to see them get an AEW run or even a WWE main roster run. I think it's great still being able to see them work at such a high level, especially after Shelley had pretty much been mostly done for a while, doing his like EMT work and stuff. And it's going to be interesting to see TNA shifting to more maybe like short-term deals or handshake deals or things like that. It could be good in different ways and allows even more flexibility for people to work other shows. Like, I guess what I'm curious about, what's popping into my head right now, is if more people end up working TNA on a non-contract deal, how much say can TNA have in different aspects of their outside bookings or their other bookings at that point, in terms of different, you can't work this person, you can't lose to this person, that kind of stuff, whatever. But they're more flexible about that than some other companies have been. But I just like, those two are such a big part of TNA's history that I don't see why they couldn't still pop up there at least here and there if they're not there full time anymore. But I would love to see them get to some other audiences watching them. The TNA crowds have seen them plenty over the years at this point, that I'd love to see the reaction that they could get in one of the major two. at this point.
Oh, I agree. And who knows? I mean, do you think that, they, you know, I mean, well, I will see. I'm going to say they seem like an NXT type tag team, but that's
just... I'd hate to see it that way. But I mean, yes, I mean, you can definitely see that from like their style of wrestling and stuff like that. But I'd love to see them get, I don't know. NXT to me just seems kind of flooded and stuff. And maybe at some point, I mean, those are two guys that definitely could, you know, be involved in. I don't know how, I have no idea one way or another, like how much longer they will work. They will wrestle on a regular basis. They could both have a lot of time left, but certainly a couple guys that I could totally see getting into coaching, agenting, all that kind of stuff too.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. This week on SmackDown, since we're talking lineups, we've got Jade Cargill's first appearance since joining SmackDown roster. Randy Orton and Kevin Owens versus Pretty Deadly, which I thought was pretty funny last night when Kevin Owens challenged him and Randy Orton was standing right next to him and they jumped back when the camera pulled back a little bit. Street Profits versus Grayson Waller and Austin Theory for a spot in the WrestleMania XL ladder match for the Undisputed Tag Team titles. We got Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate versus Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo for a spot in the WrestleMania XL ladder match. I hope all those guys get in because they're all great wrestlers and everything. So that's what's going on in SmackDown this week. It ought to be fun. Also, I got Bianca Belair versus Dakota Kai as well. So that's, did I mention that? Nope, that's on the, I thought that was on the list there too. There was a challenge. I want to send our best out to Afa Anoya Sr., who took a fall. He's the one of the original WWE Hall of Famer legends, Afa the Wild Samoan. He fractured his back in two places. He had surgery yesterday. He was also waiting on surgery for a heart valve replacement. He had surgery yesterday. It was successful to repair his multiple fractures in his back. If you're following online, he's still waiting to undergo heart valve replacement surgery, but he did make it through. Pretty good with the surgery yesterday. Multiple back breaks. Scary. Becky Lynch is officially a U.S. citizen this past week. The news broke for the WWE superstar on Raw this past week. Michael Cole revealed that. And she actually was in, on St. Patrick's Day, she was in I saw her in a picture with the president. I don't know what she was there for, but she was
Irish.
Yeah, she's Irish. And they had the leader of Ireland as well was there, I guess, and photo opportunity. So we talked about last week Bloodsport X, which is a show coming up in Philadelphia the week of WrestleMania that Josh Barnett is running. Shayna Baszler is going to be in it. Now they finally have an opponent for Shayna Baszler from WWE. She's taking Masha Slamovich from TNA, TNA Knockout Star. So we get a TNA versus a WWE and a Josh Barnett promoted Bloodsport X show going on WrestleMania week. A little update on Nikita Lyons, the NXT star, appeared on Booker T's podcast and let fans know she underwent surgery 2 months ago after suffering a torn ACL. It's now on a path to recovery. It's looking like Halloween Havoc time in October is when Nikita Lyons will be back. And Raquel Rodriguez has been pulled from WWE active roster. Rodriguez is currently listed among other talents who are sidelined. In January, she publicly disclosed her diagnosis for mast cell activation syndrome, which you saw. I don't know if you saw the picture, but it was like her skin was red. It was like almost looked like it was a
nasty. Yeah, it flared up when she was on her way to Australia for Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's why she's pulled off the active roster or she may have been injured. I'm not sure. That is all the news I got on there. Is there anything else that we want to plug? GCW Sunday.
Really quick with that Nikita Lyons story. Yeah. She tore her ACL in her first match back from a torn ACL.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that. It was like, oh, my goodness. That's pretty scary. So, yeah. So GCW is Sunday, 5 o'clock, Water Street Music Hall. There is one ticket at least, one or two there left. I'm sure if you go to the door, they might find a way to squeeze you in. I'm just saying, you know, you definitely want to catch that. I know, Rob, you're going to be there.
Yeah, just follow them on social media tomorrow. I'm sure they'll put up announcements if there's, you know, depending on once. I mean, as far as I know, there's never been a wrestling ring in that building before. So it was, and I know it was planned out with Water Street as to like how many, like the ringside seats, the rest are the GA's standing room and stuff. But then how the stage factors in with seating and production and all that stuff.
And they have the balcony that I'm guessing will look like almost will be sitting over the ring because the balcony sticks so far out there.
Yeah, I think those were the first tickets to go. I think that was all sold originally. But yeah, if you can't be there, check it out on trillertv.com. I believe they have a you can get the Triller TV app on every little streaming, whatever, but I believe they've got like a 7-day free trial on there as well. Or if you're going to the show tomorrow, you can check out the show tonight. There's a lot of other stuff. I was watching AIW on there last night, as well. So, yeah, there's this busy, March of wrestling continues, but, an exciting weekend for Rochester. This show's a long time coming.
Yeah. So. I got a lot of friends who are going to be there. So come up and say hi if you see any of us. And we're going to get out of here. We've got, well, you know, we're creeping our way to WrestleMania 2 weeks from today. Next week will be, I don't know, 1 week from the show. So we'll see what changes have happened that week and AEW as well. I want to thank everybody for in the chat room. Thank you so much. Unfortunately, I got to get out of here. I'm announcing in an hour. I've got to be able to get there. And it's been, we had like a nice snowstorm here in Rochester. So I hopefully, the roads are okay, but I want to thank you, Artiste. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, DC Dankle. Thank you, Danger Boy. And we will see you guys, same bat time, same bat channel next week.